Peter chapter 1. I've been preaching roughly once a month here at First, and we've been slowly working through 1 Peter. And the last sermon was about living in holiness, if you remember that message. But the scriptures call us to be like God, and not that we could ever be like God, but God is holy. We saw that last time, and there's a command in the scriptures for us to live holy lives as Christians. Once we come to know Him as our personal Savior, there's a call on our life to live a separate life. And Peter talks a lot about that, about Christian conduct, how we are to live. We saw that in the last sermon, but today we're going to start in verse 22 of chapter 1 in just a little bit. Our main passage, though, is going to be chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, but there's a lot of context in there. I didn't want to gloss over the context of what's going on here in this letter. But when I was a kid, and maybe some of you older folks have done this, you remember doing this when you were younger, and if you're younger, maybe you still do this, but when I was a kid, my friends talked me into playing basketball, and I was actually pretty tall in seventh grade. I was pretty close to the same height I am right now, about 5'9" tall. I had a big growth spurt, but when I was younger, I remember taking it in the doorway at our house, and I made these marks, and Tab, I don't know if you remember this, but I was tracking my height. I always wanted to be taller. In basketball, it's great. My seventh grade basketball picture, I was one of the guys in the back row, pretty tall, this height. And then eighth grade, guys were starting to pass me up. And by the time I got into ninth grade, it was over. My basketball picture, I was kneeling in the front with the short guys. Everybody else was well over 6 feet tall. And then I realized with this frame, I am no basketball player. But isn't it fun to track physical growth when you're young, right? When you're young, when we're older, we're like, well, it's a little different. But when you're young, it's fun. It's fun to track your physical growth. You want to get bigger. You want to be an adult, right? You want to grow up, right? But how about spiritual growth? How do we track spiritual growth? It's easy to see physical growth, right? But how do we track spiritual growth? Is there a way? Is there a gauge in which we can tell, okay, I was here with the Lord a number of years ago, and now today, sitting here at First Baptist Church, today I am here. Is there any way in which we can tell our spiritual progress or regress, right, or going backwards? I'm glad you're asking that question, because in this passage today, Peter answers that question. We can tell. He draws some spiritual growth lines for us in this passage. Let's read God's word, 1 Peter 1, and we're going to start in verse number 22. 1 Peter 1, here's God's holy word to us this morning. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. And just a quick note here, keep your eye out for that word, the living and abiding Word for God, a Word of God. It goes on forever. It's living and it's abiding. Keep your eye out for that word. And then he goes on in verse 24. This is a quote from Isaiah, a quote from the Old Testament. He says, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So then he goes on in chapter 2. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Verse number 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Christians, this morning, how do you know if you're growing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Right away here in verse 22, we can see, and this isn't even my main outline here, but just in the context of this passage, you can tell right away if you're growing in the Lord Jesus Christ by the love that you have for one another. Christians are to love everybody. So right out of the shoe here, we can say, okay, if in my heart I'm not loving people, There is a sign right there. There's an indicator that you're not growing spiritually in the Lord. Right? If we have hatred in our hearts for others, that's a sign that we're not growing. There's a line right there for us to look at. There's a gauge for us. Christians will have a true, genuine, earnest love. He says back in verse number 22, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. So he says, your souls have been purified. Remember, he's writing to Christians here. Peter's writing to Christians. Their souls have been purified, not by all these things that we're going to look at, some works, some gauges of spiritual growth. Their souls have been purified when we look in this context because they have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. The girl's just saying, is he worthy? There is only one worthy of our salvation. There's only one that can justify us before a just and holy God. Amen. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And if you have his righteousness, you are considered worthy because of what he has done. Amen. So we have to get that clear right away. Having purified your souls, the only way our souls can be purified is if we're trusting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. That is their step of obedience. But then he goes on with a command in verse 22. It's a command. Love one another, he says. Love one another earnestly. He doesn't say just love one another. He says love one another earnestly from a pure heart. This is a command. This is an imperative in the original language. Strong language. Love one another. Before Andrew Jackson became the seventh president of the United States of America, he served as a commander of the Tennessee militia. And I did not know this, but during the war of 1812, his troops reached an all-time low in their morale. It was a pretty dull time. A critical spirit spread amongst the troops. They were arguing, bickering back and forth with each other. They were fighting amongst themselves. Reportedly, Jackson called them all together on one occasion when tensions reached the breaking point. And he said, gentlemen, let us remember the enemy is over there, right? Our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is not other people, right? What is our enemy? Who is our enemy, right? Evil, Satan. It's not people, right? Spiritual forces, but not people. On the night in which Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, what did he tell his disciples? We looked at this in one of our men's breakfasts. Jesus said, by this, in John 13:35, by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How can the world tell if you are a Christian? By your love that you have for the brothers and sisters in this church. By the love that you have for others. This is a command to love one another. And also this is an indicator of whether or not you are growing in the Lord. By the love that you have for one another. And in verse 23, Peter gives the reason or the basis for this love. How can I love like this? This earnest love. How can we do this? He gives the reason in chapter 1, verse 23. The basis for Christian love, he says, since, or this could be translated a better way, is because. Because you have been born again. Because you've been born again. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable seed through the living and abiding word of God. There it is. We've been born again. How? Not by some seed that's going to perish, but by the eternal word of God. If you know Jesus Christ this morning as your personal Savior, the eternal Word of God lives inside of you. And it lasts forever. It's abiding forever. That's why our love needs to be forever. Amen. And God uses the love that we have for one another to show His glory to other people. He commands it, and it's also a gauge in which we can tell whether or not we're growing in the Lord. So if we have hatred in our hearts, this is a checkpoint for us in our journey as we walk along this life. If we have hatred for others in our hearts, let's check ourselves this morning. So Christians, have you been born again? That's a question I want to ask this morning. Have you been born again through the eternal living word of God? I sure hope that you have. And if you have been born again this morning, now what? What is the next step for you? You say, yes, I've given my life to Jesus Christ. What is the next step? Peter says, through the inspiration of God, it's time to grow. It's time to grow up, Christians. It's time to grow in your salvation. How do we do that? Peter gives us three steps this morning. 3 points, if you're taking notes, from chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. We're going to pull out 3 points. Very easy outline this morning. And we're going to spend a lot of time in the first two, and then the third one will go pretty quick. So just the last one's going to go quick. The first two are going to take a little bit, but 3 steps in growing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, first step is we have to change our clothes. You say, what in the world is he talking about? First step is we have to change our clothes. Look with me in verse 1 of chapter 2. This was an interesting Bible study for me when I studied this. He says, so put away, or it could be translated, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. So he gives a little list. A little list. This could be translated here, the putting away. It could be translated as taking off your clothes. Put it away. Get rid of it. And by the way, this is totally the opposite of what we saw in verse 22. I'm loving your brothers and sisters. Chapter 2, verse 1 is the opposite of that. I almost outlined this. How to split up a church is chapter 2, verses 1. Verse 1. How to split up a church? Put these things into practice. But I changed the outline. How to grow. How to grow. We need to take off these things. Right? These things have to go. If you want to grow, these things have to go. That's an easy way to remember. Put these things away. Take these things off. Christians have to dress differently. It's a command. Put it away. Take off the clothing of your past life. Before you were born again, before you knew Jesus Christ. And each of us struggle with different things, and maybe some of these things, maybe you struggle with two of these things on this list. Maybe you struggle with all of them. Maybe you struggle with some other things not listed here. But these are very good indicators in which we can tell whether or not we are growing in the Lord or we are going backwards. We're going back and we're putting on the old uniform. Has anybody here ever heard of a guy by the name of Aaron Rodgers? Has anybody here never heard of Aaron Rodgers? But Aaron Rodgers played for the Green. Where's Paula? Oh, there she is. Okay, all right. I know she's a Packer fan. But Aaron Rodgers played for the Green Bay Packers for 18 seasons. From 2005 to 2022, Aaron Rodgers spent 15 of those seasons as the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. And those other 3 years had to be, he was probably sitting on the bench to Brett Favre, right, Paula? All right, he was the starting quarterback for 15 years. Aaron Rodgers has one Super Bowl ring. He's won one Super Bowl in 2011. And then he played 2 seasons with the Jets, in which the Packer fans don't want to talk about that. All right, it wasn't very good. And now who is Aaron Rodgers playing for now? Does anybody know?
Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers. He's playing tonight. He's playing tonight against, guess who? The Green Bay Packers. Tonight at 7, whatever it is. But they're playing tonight. But can you imagine tonight, Aaron Rodgers is going to run out of the tunnel. And what jersey is he going to have on?
Steelers.
But can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers came running out of the tunnel tonight and he had on the old green and gold Green Bay Packers jersey. Was it number 12, Paula?
Yes.
Number 12. What number is he now?
I don't know.
But that doesn't matter. But can you imagine if Aaron Rodgers came running out of the tunnel tonight wearing the Green Bay Packers uniform amongst his new teammates? And we're the Steelers. They're black and gold, whatever, you know, different color. How would that go over with the coaches? How would that go over with his teammates? The team owners sitting up in the skyboxes, you know, all the people pumping the money into the team. What is he doing, right? What is he doing? He can't come out here with that old jersey on. We would say, what is he doing? What's wrong with him, right? Can you imagine what it would be like? Why is Aaron Rodgers going to come out tonight wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform? It's because he's on a new team, right? He's on a new team. Christians, we are on a new team. Don't put on your old uniform of your past life. That's what God's word is telling us this morning. We've been born again through the living and abiding word of God. How can we go back? Why do we go back? Why do we get tempted by these things of this life so frequently? We're on a new team now. We have a new uniform. Christians, are you still wearing that old uniform? My parents would often tell this story, and I was too young to remember it. But, Tad, you're going to remember this. But my parents liked to go camping at Lake Antoine. And they said, apparently, I don't remember this, but apparently I was too old. I'm saying I'm too young. But they were saying, you were too old, Tommy, for this bottle. And they would always say, Tommy, you need to get rid of that bottle. And I would kept this bottle. I was too old. I don't know the age. But we were camping at Lake Antoine. And my parents met some people there. That's how we met Dave Green. But my dad said there was a guy there they met. He said to me, you're a big boy now. Take that bottle and go throw it in the garbage. And they would always say, I marched over there and I took that bottle and I threw it away. And that was it. I never had the bottle after that. And I thought, what a picture. Isn't that a picture of us as Christians? We come to the Lord. We've been born again. He's given us a new nature. But that old nature, that cowardly Judas, is still in us, isn't it? That sinful nature, that propensity to sin is still there. And it comes down to, what are we going to feed? The new nature? Are we going to go back to the old nature? And God's word this morning is saying, get rid of these things. You want to not grow? Do you want to stunt your growth? Do you want to split up a church? This is how you do it right here. Do not do these things. These five things. Now here's the list. Five things that hinder spiritual growth. He says, put away all malice in verse 1. And notice the repetition here. All. He says all three times. It's a command. Put away all malice. What is malice? I can't say that I use that word often. Malice. We don't use that frequently. Malice. Put away all malice. This is a very broad word. It's an all-encompassing word. It's an all-inclusive word. It can mean a lot of different things. It could be translated ill will or spite. It's your desire to get back at somebody. You have hurt me, and now I'm going to hurt you. You have a malicious spirit. Right? That's what he's saying here. He says, put all that stuff away. Throw that away. Take all that off. Get rid of that. You want to split up a church? You want to ruin your testimony? Practice malice. I'm going to get you back for what you've done to me. Christians, are we practicing malice? If we have malice in our hearts towards someone, not only are you not growing, but God is not going to be able to use you. Not very effectively. And maybe we can cover these sins up quietly in our hearts. But let's examine ourselves this morning. God is drawing the lines on the pole. How are you growing? Are you growing as a Christian, or are you still down here? You see, I've been walking with the Lord for 40 years. It's examination time this morning. God's word is so clear to us this morning. All malice has to go. Number 2, put away all deceit. Put away all malice and all deceit. Not just a little bit of deceit. You can have a little. He says all of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It could be translated guile or crookedness. Is there any crookedness in your heart or dealings with people? Well, they won't really find out. Well, God knows our hearts, doesn't he? You know, it's the very word here for a fishing hook. And I know some guys here, we've been getting excited to go fishing. And took Jack fishing, we were talking about the other day. Will, you've been going fishing, but you know fishermen are really deceivers. You know that, right? We're trying to tell the poor little fish, hey, we have a lunch for you. Come over here, look at this. But right before we go fishing, we say, oh, I got to make sure I have my lures, right? We have these artificial lures. And it looks like a real fish. And I remember telling Jack, try to make the lure look as real as possible. Because if it looks fake, the fish they're not gonna bite on it. It has to look real. And that's fishermen, we're deceivers, sorry, Will. But that's this word right here. We're trying to hook people. We're trying to deceive someone, right? When the whole time you have another motive. No deception. No deception. Not being honest. 2 Corinthians 8:21 says, for we aim at what is honorable, not only in the Lord's sight. I love this verse. We aim at what is honorable, not only in God's sight, but also in the sight of all people. That is the picture of a Christian. Christians should be an open book. We should be honest with our brothers and sisters, speaking the truth in love. Deceit has to go if we want to grow. Another one here, number three, says, put away all hypocrisy. We're used to this word, right? Hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It literally is play acting, right? Pretending to be something that you're not. We claim one thing, but really we're something else. Christians this morning, can I ask you this question? Do you feel like you have to be somebody else when you walk through those doors? Do you feel like you have to be somebody other than you are at home with your wife, with your husband, with your children, with your friends? Do you feel like you have to be somebody else when you come into this place? Is there hypocrisy in our hearts? Are you pretending to be someone else? God's word is getting right to the heart of this morning. God knows. We can fool each other, right? But if we're being hypocritical, we're never going to grow. Why? Because, boy, it looks like you have everything put together. I so appreciated last Sunday Chris's comments, her question to Pastor. Pastor was talking about evangelism. We need to go out and share the gospel with people. And we were talking about witnessing, and I loved it. It was great. And Chris raises her hand, and she says, I know. She said something like, I know we're to go out and evangelize, but sometimes I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like doing it. I don't want to do it. Do you have some advice for me, Pastor, on what I should do? And I just love that. That is real Christianity right there. Just being open. Help me. I need some help with this. If we're struggling with something, let's be open and honest with each other. That's the only way that we're going to grow. Being hypocritical and covering up sin, and we're not going to grow. Hypocrisy has to go if we're going to grow. Number four, he says, put away all envy. Put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and envy. The NLT translates it jealousy. Jealousy. This one we're familiar with. Having a malicious grudge towards somebody else because they have something that you want, right? Someone calls you on the phone, oh man, I just bought a brand new truck. And you say, praise the Lord. Right? I'm so happy for you. What is that? That's jealousy, right? Why don't I get a new truck? I got this old car that just blew up. The motor blew on it. I can't even afford a new truck. And he gets a brand new truck. Right? That's jealousy. That's immaturity. That's a sign that we are not growing. Right? I deserve that job. I deserve that house. I deserve that relationship, that person, whatever it is. Do we really have to pull other people down in order for us to feel good about ourselves? What is wrong with us? If we have to pull other people down to make ourselves feel good, what is that a sure sign of? I think a couple things. It's a sign of insecurity, for one. And Christians, where should we go for our security? Christ. In Jesus Christ, he's the only one that we can be secure in. He's the only eternal living word that we just talked about. All these things are fleeting, but yet we get focused on these temporal things. And God's word says, no, let these things go. Jealousy and envy. And on the positive side, isn't it nice? Isn't it great to see? It's so encouraging to see a genuine person. And you can tell. They are genuinely happy for somebody when they say, hey, I bought this. I have this. We're going on a trip to Hawaii. We're doing these things, whatever it is. And they say, I am so happy for you. I can tell that you're excited to go. I'm really happy for you. And they're not saying, oh, I got to stay here in the UP. You get to go to Hawaii. It's freezing cold, right? But isn't it great to see somebody who's positive? You can tell they're genuinely happy for someone. And what is that? That is a sign of someone who's mature, someone who's growing. Envy, jealousy. One more here, number five, put away all slander. And this one, this is a very familiar one. This is a very easy one for us to do. Slander people, backbiting people, talking behind people's backs. Very easy to slip into this one, right? In the church here, we kind of have common interests with people. We just naturally sometimes gravitate towards certain people. We go fishing, right? We have this little fishing group. Not everybody in the church likes to go fishing, right? So we're out there fishing, and it's very easy for us, for anyone, to say, hey, brother so-and-so, he's kind of weird. Why doesn't he want to go fishing? And you start talking about people. That's this word here, slandering them. Or somebody shares some issues that they're going through. They decide they don't want to be hypocritical, and I want to share my issues with you. I'm really struggling with this thing. And they share some issue that they're having. And then you get together with another brother or sister in the Lord, and you say, hey, did you hear about so-and-so, what they did? That's slander. And God's word says, no. That's how you don't grow. That's how you go back and put on your old uniform. That's how you destroy and divide and split up a church. These things have to go. Ephesians 4:29. My wife has quoted me this verse in the past. It's a good one. I need to get it down in my mind a little better. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt talking come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up. For building up. If it's not positive, we shouldn't be saying it, right? If it's not encouraging others, we shouldn't be saying it. As fits the occasion, it says, that it may give grace to those who hear. You know, I think a good thing for us to remember is to ask ourselves, is this true, what I'm about to say? And is this loving, what I'm about to say? And is this necessary, what I'm about to say? Because it could be true, right? Jimmy really did say this about me. I find out about it. So it might be true. But does that mean that I have to go tell everybody about it or go slash him in some way? No. So I think a good gauge for us sometimes is to ask ourselves before this opens up, is it true? Is it loving? And is it really necessary? Is it going to build up Christ's church? And sometimes we need wisdom in these things to know when we should go tell somebody something, right? We need guidance. We need discernment sometimes. But we need to be careful that we don't slip into this. Because if you've walked with the Lord for any length of time, pretty much like we were talking Weston and Dave and Julia, you guys haven't walked with the Lord very long. Dave and Julia, brand new Christians. But if you've walked with him for a long time, you have seen these things come out in churches, and they can be very, very ugly. These are things of what not to do if we want to grow closer together and closer to our God. So we must lay some things aside. Growth starts by changing your clothes from verse 1. Lay these things aside. And then verse number 2, change your diet. Change your diet. Step number 2 here, we must feed on God's word. There are some things that have to go. And now there are some things that we need to take in. He says, like newborn infants, verse number 2, like a brand new baby. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. There's our word, that you may grow up into salvation. Just like a brand new baby. Butters, when I saw your baby over there, it's beautiful, right? So he's talking about like a newborn baby. And there's a command, there's another imperative. Long for the pure spiritual milk. We just sang about it. Ed was just talking about it. Long for that pure spiritual milk. What is the milk that he's talking about here? The milk is the word, and that's why I wanted to draw out that word, his word. The milk, the spiritual milk, is God's word. So when you come to Christ, you long for the very thing that saved you. We just read in 22 and 23, it was by the living and enduring word of God that you were saved. And it is by the living and abiding word of God that you're going to grow. So long and crave for the very thing that gave you salvation. Crave for that, God's word. Do you crave this morning for God's word? Do you have a desire for God's word? Because the command here is to love. The command here is to crave God's word. Do you have a longing for God's word? We were born again by the word. Now we need the nourishment of the word, or we're not going to grow. He commands these sins to go, and now the desire for God's word. And this is the point that most Christians are very, very well aware of, right? We don't deal with the sins of verse number 1 from chapter 2. If we don't deal with those sins, then we're not going to hunger for God's word. Because we're hungering for those sinful things. We're living for verse 1. Don't get verse 1 and verse 2 flipped around. If you're craving after verse number 1, you're not going to have an appetite for verse number 2. God's word is not that important to me. Why? Because you're doing verse number 1. That's what you're living for. Cutting people. Being a hypocrite. Slashing people. Talking bad about people. Having envy, malice in your hearts. When we're practicing those things, there's going to be no hunger for God's word. There's going to be no desire for God and the things of God. Because we have our old uniform. We put the old uniform back on. They're going to spoil your appetite for the word of God. Just like your mom used to say, if you eat junk food between meals, it's going to wreck your dinner. Right? My mom used to tell me that. Just as a baby desires milk, we as Christians should be desiring the word of God. Why? Why should I desire the word of God? We were talking about this in youth group the other night. Why should we desire the word of God? Because it's the only thing that's going to give you nourishment to keep you going and keep you growing. Right? Today, I'm giving you an appetizer from God's word. I want to whet your appetite so you guys will go home and bathe in this book. Today, I'm giving you little tidbits of God's word. We're singing. We're excited. My brothers and sisters are here. Praise God. This is so amazing. But where does real growth come from? It comes from when you go home and spend time in this word. And you say, I can't get disciplined enough. I get excited when I come to church and I go home and I get busy. I have to go to work. I have to do all these things. I don't get in my Bible. Join a Bible study. Our small group the other night was so amazing. It was so encouraging. Let me give you a Bible study book. It'll hold you accountable. You can study throughout the week, and then we're going to gather together on Thursdays, and we're going to talk about what you've learned. You can share everything with us. We're going to share things with you. That's what it's about. It's about the Word of God. That's how we're going to grow. And if you're not daily intaking the Word of God, your growth is being stunted. You're not going to grow as a Christian. It's that simple. God's Word is that simple to us this morning. If a baby stops craving food, if the baby loses its appetite and stops eating, if Butter's brand new baby stops eating, Butter's and his wife are going to immediately take that baby to the hospital, right? Mm-hmm. Christians, if you stop eating, you need to go to the hospital. And it's been often said that the church is a hospital for sinners. Well, today we're at the hospital, and God's word is giving us a checkup. And in your hearts right now, you know where you're at on these lines. You're thinking it through right now in your mind. And what is God asking you to do today? Do you have a hunger for God's word or not? Ask yourselves, if you do not this morning, be open and honest with yourself. If you do not truly hunger after God, ask yourself why. Why don't I hunger after God the way that I should? Either you're a sick Christian, and by that I mean think of pictures of the Holocaust. Think of a person, a 50-pound adult man, pictures that we don't want to think about. Either you're a sick, malnourished Christian, or you're not a Christian at all. Ask yourself that this morning. We are talking about life and death here. When a baby doesn't have an appetite, stops eating, we know right away something's wrong. And if you're not craving for God and His Word, my friend, there is something wrong, spiritually speaking. Can I encourage you this morning to pray for desire? Pray for a hunger for God. It's the only way you're going to grow. It's your spiritual food, the Bible. And there's no substitute. Is spending time with God a priority for you or the priority? Because we learned the other night in youth group, we have all these things. I asked the kids, what do you like to do? What do you like to do? And they were saying all the things that they do. The work, the fun, we all have activities, things that we do. We have these priorities that we have to get done. But do you have time in your schedule for God? The one that you want to spend all eternity with, right? Do you have time this side of heaven for Him? Or is your life about other things? Can I encourage you this morning to stop and think about this? pray and ask God for hunger for him. You know, I think a lot of times as we walk with the Lord, we say, yeah, yeah, I've heard this before. I've heard this many, many times. And that takes us to our last point this morning. Before we get into our last point, God's word tells us here that his word is living and abiding. It goes on forever and ever and ever, right? It always has been, and it always will be. What do we tend to do with things that are always around? Right? We get used to them, right? We get used to those things. We neglect those things. We take those things for granted. I heard that preached 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. I've heard it. First Peter, I've heard I don't know how many sermons, right? We get used to things that have always been around. The living and abiding word is eternal. It's forever. May we not get used to God's word. May we not take it for granted. Our last point here this morning. He says, lay aside some things from verse 1. Verse 2, we must desire the word of God. And verse 3, we need to remember. We need to remember how good God is from verse number 3. He says, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. The baby's ready for the milk. Praise the Lord. So we need to remember, Christians, point number 3, remember how good God is. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. This could be translated here, since. He's not asking a question in verse 3. It's not. He's not asking them if they have tasted that the Lord is good. Because he's writing to Christians. This could be translated, it should be translated, since. It's not a question of if. It's making a statement. Since you have tasted that the Lord is good. The tasted here is another word for experienced God. Have you tasted or experienced God? That's what it is here. Since you have experienced God. The NLT says, cry out for nourishment, just like the baby. Cry out for nourishment now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. You've given your life to Christ. You're born again, if you know him. He says, now cry out for nourishment. How many here have ever tasted or experienced the goodness of God in your life? I saw some quick hands. Praise the Lord. You've come to him and you've experienced his goodness. There really is nothing better in life, is there? Not even close. You know, I think some of the best tasting food, unfortunately I like to eat too much, but I think some of the best tasting food out there has to be Italian food. I like Italian food. Even though it has all of its calories, right, with all of its carbohydrates and the meatballs and all that. My mom, my parents, when I was younger, I used to eat a lot of Italian food. My mom would make spaghetti and raviolis and mostaccioli. I haven't had that in years. Mostaccioli. Does anybody make that? All right. We'll talk later, guys. That sounds really good. I haven't eaten a lot of Italian food until last year when you all invited me and my wife to the Italian dinner that the church has. We go over there to Rainbow's End, and Ian and I are sitting there, and we get the food, and Lois has her raviolis there, and Bill brings some sausage, and there's these three big things, secret recipes in the church, and raviolis, meatballs, and somebody makes the red sauce, but they put them all together, and I just got the stuff, and Ian and I were sitting there eating, and all of a sudden we're like, whoa, what is this? It was incredible. I haven't had Italian in a while. It was amazing. But Lois, you have totally wrecked my taste buds. Because since then, last February, I've tried raviolis twice. A guy I work with says, oh, I make raviolis. And I said, oh, bring me in a pack. So he brought me a pack, and I brought them home, and I cooked them, and they were good. And then I tried Chef Boyardee, and then I ate two of them. I ate two of them. That was it. And I'm like, so, but that is what it's like, right? Once you've tasted something so good, there is no turning back. Let us remember that this morning. Since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Christians, let's remember that, not only when we're here, but when we go out those doors. This week at work, this week in our dealings and struggles and issues that are going to come our way, let us always remember the goodness of the Lord. All right? His word is our spiritual nourishment. The psalmist says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him." And I'm going to close here with two questions I wanted to wrap up the message with. But have you tasted or experienced the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? And maybe you've heard about Jesus, you've heard some things about him, but you don't really know him. You see, there's a difference. I knew some things about Jesus until somebody shared the gospel with me. Then I realized I didn't know Jesus. I wasn't born again, as Peter said here. So there's a difference between knowing some things about him and going to church and doing some religious activities. There's a big difference between that and actually knowing him. So I want to encourage you this morning, if you don't know him as your Lord and personal Savior, if you say, "I'm unsure," that's a good indicator that you probably don't know him. And I would love to talk with you about your relationship with the Lord. I think that's why I was born. I have a passion to tell others about Jesus Christ. And so does Pastor Dave and the elders and every Christian that's been born again. So if you don't know him this morning, can I encourage you? Ultimately, you need him. He's the only one that can save you. But if I can help you in your walk with the Lord, I'd love to talk with you. Have you tasted or experienced the goodness of God? Christians, the call this morning is very clear for us. Very, very clear. It's time to grow. It's time to grow. Now that you know him, how? Three steps. First, we must lay aside some things. Take off the old uniform. It's over. It's gone. It needs to go for us to grow. Number two, we must desire the word of God. Crave after the word of God in order to grow. Number three, we must remember how good God is. Let's pray together. Our gracious